Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Could you thank the Lord? I'm just going to ask everybody very quietly, just for a second, calm your spirits, as awesome as this has been. Psalms 46:10 says, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and just close your eyes. Everyone, nobody moving. No talking. We're just going to get quiet in the presence of God for a moment. There is such a presence here tonight. We sang a song about freedom. Father God, we can boldly come before you. Not sheepishly, not afraid. Boldly, Father God, we can come before you because we come in the name of Jesus. The name that is above all name. You know every person in this room. You know the pains, the hurts, their shortcomings, their failures, their victories. Father God, everyone in this room has been fearfully and wonderfully made in your image. God, you not only so loved us, you valued us so much. You treasured us so much that you would send your son for us. Jesus would not die for anything that does not have great value. Let everybody in this room know that they matter, that they are important, that you love them above all else, and there is absolutely nothing, nothing ever said by them or that they have ever done that has stopped you from loving them. God, I want everyone to leave this room tonight knowing they have been in the presence of God. And Lord, in your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is refreshment. Father, the title of this conference is Unleash the Power. Father God, you are the greatest power in this universe. You created this universe. You created everyone in this room. You created this earth. God, you, the greatest power in this universe, is alive inside of me through the Holy Spirit. Let me understand tonight that the greatest power in the universe gives me wisdom, gives me knowledge, gives me counsel, gives me strength, gives me peace, gives me victory. He gives me life. We ask all these things with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. If you got the greatest power in the universe living inside of you, give the Lord a hand clap like you've never done before. Come on! Come on! Come on! Come on! I cannot tell you how honored I am, absolutely honored to be here tonight. I am going to remember the 10th Beatitude. It goes something like this. Blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be invited back. I now live in Tampa, Florida. I originally grew up in a small northeastern town called Brooklyn, New York. Yeah, Brooklyn's in the house. If you've ever been to my hometown of Brooklyn, quietly raise your hands. Cool. For those of you who have never been to Brooklyn, never forget the words I'm about to say. If you ever go to Brooklyn, when you go, bring a camera, because you will see things in Brooklyn, I promise, you'll never see again in your life. Starting with your camera. You guys catch on? Growing up in Brooklyn, I grew up with two wonderful parents. My dad is Italian. My mom is Swedish. You're looking at the original Swedish meatball, just so you know that. But growing up in Brooklyn, I realized one thing in my travels. No matter where I go, people say some of the craziest things. I'll give you an example. Not too long ago, I fly into the Raleigh-Durham airport. I'm down by baggage claim. There's a little boy jumping on and off the baggage claim belt, singing, please don't stop the music. His mom sees him, runs up to him in a quiet voice, says, Michael, get off of that belt now. Because if you get your legs chopped off, don't come running to me. Michael's like, okay, I'll come crawling.
I'm 9 years old. My dad's driving the car. My sister and I are getting along real well in the back, as every brother and sister do, pulling each other's hair, fighting over the invisible line. Stay on your side of the line. For those of you who are old enough, my G.I. Joe has beaten the living daylights out of my sister's Ken. That's right. Because he had a crush on Barbie. Well, Dad's driving the car. He turns around completely as he's driving. Says, Bobby, if I told you once, I told you 1,000 times to leave your sister alone. Then he asked me a question. How many times do I have to tell you to leave your sister alone? I'm 9 years old. With confidence, I believe he gave me the answer. I looked at him and said, 1,001. He goes, oh, being a smart mouth, am I going to have to come back there? I'm already in trouble. I look at Dad. I go, Dad, come on back. I want to know who's going to drive the car. And I got to tell you, what shocks me, I grew up in New York, but I travel all over the nation speaking in high schools, colleges, some work with like Johnny and in bowl games and the NFL and a little of everything. But one thing shocks me in this nation, and you might be able to help me with this, and parents in the back, please explain this to me. Why? How come in the United States of America, when parents want to spank or punish their children, why do they drag them to Walmart? I watch more kids run for their lives at Walmart than anywhere else. Johnny, you answered your mother back. I know, Dad, get in the car. We're going to Walmart. Then I tell middle school kids, be careful. Walmart's is staying open 24 hours a day. Mom finds a report card at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're going to Walmart. And people always ask me, Bobby, in your travels, what's the craziest thing you've ever seen? It happened 2 weeks ago. I'm flying from where I used to live for a short time in Norfolk, Virginia, to New York City, LaGuardia Airport. I have to get out of the airport, onto the tarmac, and I'm boarding a 40-seater twin-prop airplane. The staircase folds down. I walk up the staircase. I get on the plane. I plop down in the emergency exit row. I am a big boy. I need to be in the emergency exit row so I can have a little room to spread out. Now, to sit in the emergency exit row, there's criteria. 1, you got to be 15 years old. 2, you got to handle a 40-pound door. 3, in case of trouble, you got to throw people off the plane. Well, every once in a while on some of these smaller planes like this one I saw, they have an extra warning sign. It was plastered to the fold-down tray table in front of me. I promise you, as I'm standing here today, I have never laughed so hard in my life on an airplane reading this warning sign. Who put it up? I have no idea. Here's what it read. Warning. Please contact a U.S. Airways crew member if you cannot, I repeat, cannot read, speak, or understand English. And I thought, okay, how would I read the sign in the first place? I graduated high school in Brooklyn, New York. I went all the way out to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I wanted to be like my uncle. When I was your age, I had an uncle who played professional baseball. I know you'll have a hard time believing this. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and I was a Boston Red Sox fan. It's a miracle I lived. Why? My uncle Rico Petroselli played for the Boston Red Sox for 15 years. Yes, I had an Uncle Rico, but not the same one as Napoleon Dynamite. Well, I go out to Old Roberts. I want to play baseball my junior year in 1981. We were number one in the nation for most of the season, lost to Oklahoma State, who went on to play in the World Series and actually lost in the championship game of the World Series. Why didn't I go any further with baseball? I couldn't hit the curveball. You don't hit the curveball, you go nowhere with a baseball career, but I did get an education. I was a smart college student. I had the privilege of cramming a 4-year college education into 6 years. Why? I tell people I kept on changing my majors. My first major in college was French. Imagine a guy from Brooklyn teaching French. Hey, yo, parlez-vous français? My second major, underwater basket weaving. No future in it. I tell people I graduated college in the top 10% of the bottom third of my class. Started my senior year of college, a buddy of mine introduces me to a beautiful woman. Her name is Ava. She's from Texas. He said, Bobby, if you and Ava get together, I promise you'll have a great relationship. I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to get along with a girl from Texas? We talk different. I say, use guys. Ava says, y'all. We ever have children, they're going to say, y'all. Within a year after I graduate college, I get engaged. Students, the scariest thing I ever did when I got engaged, I went to the dictionary and I looked up the word engaged. Do you know the actual definition of engaged in the dictionary truly reads? To do battle with the enemy. What? So I look up the word mother-in-law. Big star next to it says, see the word engaged. Ava and I are engaged within a year later. We're married. We're married for 2 years. I'm working as a teacher and a coach in a high school, a 4A high school of about 1,000 students. I'm married to Ava for 2 years. We move in our first house. I'm in the house for 2 months. This one Thursday night, I travel 90 miles one way to coach in a high school football game. Now, I'm not sure where many of you are from. 90 miles for some of you might be a drop in the bucket. 90 miles out of Brooklyn, New York, I could go to 4 different states and deal with 20 million people. And to top it off in Texas, I was coaching high school football in front of 20,000 fans. You gotta be kidding me. In the middle of nowhere, this stadium would rise out of the desert. There's 20,000 people coming to a high school football game. Not like Brooklyn. I played my high school football in Brooklyn in front of 20 fans. Yeah, that's right, they were faithful though. When our games were over, our fans always came on the field and beat up our opponents. Yeah, I know some of you guys play football. I was out there today. You think you're tough? Let me tell you how tough my high school football team was. On defense, we played no games. As soon as we sacked the quarterback, we went in the stands and sacked his family. We got to the root of the problem. I get home this Thursday night. I walk in the kitchen. Ava greets me. I look over her shoulder. There on the table, my second love of life, a big bowl of pasta. I told you already I'm Italian. But number one, I got to tell you, I have no family in the mafia. Number two, I feel sorry for everybody sitting in front of me. Why? Like all Italians from Brooklyn, I spit when I talk. And number three, I fulfill the major criteria of being Italian and from New York. I promise you, cross my heart, I really do have a cousin Vinny. Just so you guys know that. Ava and I finish eating. She talks to me about a couple things. I say goodnight to her. About 20 minutes later, I crawl into bed next to her, kiss her on the cheek, tell her I love her. She mumbles she loves me back. I roll over my back and oh my goodness, there it is. Every man and boy in this room will understand my excitement. There's moonlight on the ceiling. Once a month, the moon would be lined up perfectly behind my house. A full moon would shine through my bedroom window onto the ceiling. Hey, listen, fellas, I am a married man. I am a Christian married man. I am laying next to my beautiful wife alone in bed at night. There's moonlight on the ceiling. As a married Christian man, I know what's important to me. Forget the romance. I'm a man. I throw both of my hands and make animal figures on the ceiling. After my last who knows what, I check on Ava. She's out like a light. I close my eyes. And the next thing I know, I wake up 1 hour later. Instead of being in my bed or my bedroom, I'm sitting in the dining room window, which is the next room over. I notice there's a haze of smoke in front of me. Something smells really, really bad, and there's a bright light to the right of me. Before I continue, I want everybody for the next 15 seconds, please, in this room to close your eyes. You can dwell and think about whatever you want to for the next 15 seconds. Close your eyes now, please. Nobody looking around, nobody talking. Think about whatever you want. You may open your eyes now. I'm going to ask one of three questions to everyone in this room. If any of these questions pertain to you, please raise your hand as high as you can. Number one, while your eyes were closed, if the thoughts that you were thinking pertained to your past, seconds, minutes, weeks, hours, days, years into your past, please honestly raise your hand as high as you can. Thank you. Put your hands down. Number two, while your eyes were closed, if your thoughts pertain to your future, seconds, minutes, weeks, days, years into your future, please raise your hand as high as you can. Thank you. Put your hand down. Number three, while your eyes were closed, if your thoughts pertain to now, this moment, this second, this hour, raise your hands. Put your hands down. of every hand that went up in this room, 70% of you, 7 out of 10, your thoughts were focused on your past or on your future. Number one, your past is done and over with. It's finished. It's history. It'll never be here again. Your future has not even come yet. And the Lord has promised us this moment. He promised to be with us in this moment. He promised to be with us in the future. But the reality is this: if you don't live in what He gives you right now, you could miss out on some of the greatest things of this world. God has this moment, this hour, this second, this day, this week, this month, this year for you. Every single one of us falls short when we lose out on right now, because we're living in our past. We're living in the pain of our past, the mistakes and the hurt that either we have made or somebody else has made in our lives, or we are fearing the future, filled with anxiety and worry. And the reality is this: we have right now. Every one of us will have life-defining and life-changing moments. I truly believe that God's desires, they happen every day of our life. But you know what happens to many of us? We get so caught up in the hectic routine of the day that we really have no clue who God is. I am so amazed, because I have been in the church since I have been a little boy. And Johnny, I got to tell you straight up, I've talked about relationship, relationship, relationship my whole life. And literally, when you met me 2 years ago, that was on the cusp of God really saying, you talk about relationship? Do you want me to really tell you what a relationship with me really looks like? Do you really know my voice? Do you really hear my voice? Or is my voice a bunch of religious rules and mandates that you believe is really me talking to you? Do you really know who I am and what I want to share with you? Because I have things untold. Christians in this world, FCA in this world, we should be the most extraordinary, awesome, love-filled, power-driven people in a positive way that this earth has ever known. Unleash the power. We got the greatest power inside of us. And we don't tap into it. We talk about doing all these things. I am telling you, as I'm standing here today, Bobby Petrocelli is lost every day without the grace, the love, and the mercy of God alive in my life. Everybody in the world that I'm going to point my finger at and call lost, I'm lost. But the reality is, I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Of my works, squat. I can't do it. But because of what Jesus has done for me, I can stand before God the Father. I can enter into His presence, into the Holy of Holies, with thanksgiving, with praise, because of who Jesus is and what He has done for me. He gives me that ability. He gives me carte blanche. In the Old Testament, that couldn't happen. Jesus did it for me. Well, here's the reality, students. You never know when you're going to have one of those defining moments. I got to share what happened 2 years ago, because I share this all the time. I was blown away when we slow down enough to hear what God says to us. I was at the University of Miami for the entire week. I'm at the University of Miami. The last group I'm about to speak to is the girls' basketball team. The coach comes up to me and says, Bobby, please, my girls are getting in trouble. We're playing Georgia Tech tonight. They're the number 3 team in the nation. We're 9-15. We've lost 6 games in a row. My girls are getting in trouble. We are 25-point underdogs here at home against Miami. Please say something to help the girls. At that particular point in my life, what had been going on in my life, God had really started to speak to me about embracing the moment, about having God moments, about listening to His Spirit, about opening up to a phrase called an epiphany. An epiphany is a sudden realization. The light goes on. It's an aha moment when something finally makes sense. So I'm thinking, you know what? Let me go in that direction. And I said very simply, I said, girls, as I'm standing before the girls' Miami basketball team, do you know what an epiphany is? Hands go up everywhere. They say, you know, we live here in South Florida. An epiphany is like being in a movie theater. It's dark. We could barely see. We walk out, the bright sunlight smacks us in the face. It's an aha moment, a sudden realization. I said, excellent, girls. I spend the next 35 minutes pouring my heart into these girls. 35 minutes later, the head coach starts to cry. The girls start to cry. I'm Italian. I love to cry. Big cry party. I walk out in the hallway. The coach talks to the girl. She comes out to me. The girls hug me. They thank me. I go on my way. I fly from Miami back to Tampa. That night at 9 o'clock in the evening, my cell phone text message goes off. The man who brought me in is a gentleman by the name of Steve DeBartolabin. Steve has been at the University of Miami for about 38 years. He's become a true brother in the Lord. He texts me, he goes, Bobby, you're not going to believe it. One of our girls on the team hit a three-pointer with 1.4 seconds left to play. We have just beaten Georgia Tech 54-52. Remember, we were 25-point underdogs. I'm like, yes. I text Steve back. I said, Steve, tell the girls and the coaches, I hope I said something to help them out. 30 minutes later, I'm almost asleep. I get a second text message. The first word in the second text message is the word epiphany. And it says, Epiphany, the girls and the coach want to thank you. You really touched them and helped them. What a great feeling to go to bed. What a great way to say, thank you, Lord, for using me tonight. I go to bed. I wake up about 7 o'clock in the morning. I pick up my cell phone to reread that text message. And all of a sudden, I begin to reread it. And as I'm reading it wide awake at 7 o'clock in the morning, son, it makes different sense. I put down my phone. I run into the kitchen. I open up the newspaper, which is the St. Pete Times where I live. I go to the sports page. I go to the back of the sports page where it has the ACC sports column. And I begin to read about the Miami-Georgia Tech girls game. And the more I start reading about the game, I start to cry. I cannot believe what I am reading. It goes on to say at halftime, Miami was losing to Georgia Tech and they had been losing over the last six games. The coach decides to put this one girl in the second half. The girl scores the final 10 points. She was a freshman, hadn't played for most of the season. She scores the final 10 points of the game, including the winning three-point basket. That's awesome, but that's not what blew me away. The more I read that article, and I get to the bottom, and I'm crying and I'm praising God, and I cannot believe it, that nobody the day before told me what I'm about to tell you. The girl who hit the winning three-point basket, her name was Epiphany. You got to be kidding me. God knows what you and I need when we need it. We just have to rely on hearing his voice. But you know what happens? The enemy wants you to be so filled with stress, strife, chaos, because then you can't hear God. God is always speaking. Why are we not always hearing him? And I talk to myself first above everybody else. The Spirit of God is always willing. I am a spirit. I'll say it again. I am a spirit that lives in a body that is fading away. I have a soul that is made up of my mind, my will, and my emotions. And the Word of God teaches me that they're always at war with each other. Well, guess what? I can't even pray without the Spirit of God giving me strength. I can't read God's Word. I can't be loving without the Spirit of God giving me the strength. And the greatest thing that you and I can do is learn to simply say, Holy Spirit, that's alive in me, give me the strength to be what you've called me to be and to hear the voice of God speaking to me. Luke 4:18, Jesus was asked when he was in the temple, why are you on this earth? He said, I am here to heal the brokenhearted. I am here to set the captive free, give sight to the blind. This scripture right up here, in case you don't know, John 17:21. Jesus is praying a prayer to the Father, and he says, Father, may the disciples, my disciples, those you have given to me now and in the future, may they be one, Father, as you and I are one. Bobby Petrocelli, right now, if he got on a bench press, I cannot do 500 or 600 pounds. But I'll tell you one thing. If somebody else in this room laid down right next to me on a bench and both of us together got on that bar, I bet you we can, me and Johnny could lift maybe 500, 450 pounds, whatever it is, together. Look how much more we're able to do together. You want to see a move of God in your life, in your family, in your school, in your city, your state, in this nation? The unity that God calls, that FCA brings to the table, lays down denominations. I'm sorry, I'm not here to offend anybody. Doesn't matter to me what denomination you are from, but I promise you, when Jesus hung on the cross and he prayed this prayer to the Father in John 17, he didn't pray the prayer, said, you know what, Lord? You know what my desire is, Father God? that there will be a Catholic church, a Methodist church, a Presbyterian, a Baptist, Assembly of God, Pentecostal, Holiness, Church of Christ, yada, 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 yada. Did you see that in the Word of God? You think Jesus prayed that to the Father? Of course not. But that my body might be one. We want to see this world one. We want to see people run to the kingdom of God. We work together like we do as teammates. We work together as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We will see a mighty move of God where his power will truly be unleashed on this earth. And it doesn't have to pour down. It's already poured down. It'll pour out of each and every one of us. Students, it's real simple. When I waved my arms in the bedroom that night to clear the haze and the fog and the smoke out, little did Bobby Petroselli know his life would be changed forever. Because there in the middle of my dining room, I was looking at a full-size F-150 Ford pickup truck parked in the middle of my dining room. No exaggeration, my first response was, oh, drive-through service in Texas is different than New York. They come into your house. But at that moment, a man steps out of the truck and our eyes meet, and he asks me a question. Is there somebody else in the house? The moment he said that, and I began to gain a little consciousness, I cannot tell you how frantically I started to run, scream, yell, try to lift this truck, because all I could scream out was for my wife, Ava. Students, I was finally escorted out of my house from paramedics into an ambulance driving away from my house, and I looked at the back wall of my house. And I lived in New York before I moved to Florida, before 9/11 took place, and I spent a lot of time with 9/11 families, but I still tell people, for me personally, the toughest thing I ever had to deal with was driving away from my house and seeing my back brick bedroom wall gone in the darkness of my bedroom with two red taillights of a pickup truck parked in my bedroom, and somewhere sunned under that truck was my wife of 2.5 years. I get to the hospital, they wheel me in the emergency room, I'm crying, I'm praying, I'm even spitting glass out of my mouth, and that is when I was told by the chaplain of the local police department just outside of Houston, Texas, that my wife of 2.5 years did not make it, that she was dead. 2 days later, we deal with a funeral service at the church. I forced the doctors to let me out. They didn't want to let me out because I had broken bones. I had rubber from the truck tires burned throughout my body. But I was going to get to the bottom of this. And son, I see my wife for the first time in 2 days. Let me tell you something. Nobody had to tell me that she wasn't in a better place. I knew she was in the presence of the Father. But I am a human being. You cut me, I bleed. Okay? You call me names, I sometimes might take offense. I have to choose to ask the Lord to give me strength not to take offense. But sometimes I want to. I'm a human being. Even though I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, my flesh is corrupted. It doesn't always want the best for me like the Spirit of God does. And I see Ava in a casket for the first time. I literally tried to pull her out and leave. My friends come rushing in. They put her back in the casket. We deal with the funeral service at the church. 2 mornings later, we go from the church to the cemetery. A 15-mile drive took 3 hours. A small hurricane on October 25th had moved into our area. Had dumped a lot of rain throughout the Houston area. Very small hurricane, but a lot of rain. Not tons of wind, a lot of rain. I finally get out to the cemetery that Monday. And on that Monday, the 28th of October, I go from the church to the cemetery. The church had, that normally seated 500 people, had 1,500 people there. It was packed. 2.5 hours to get from the church to the cemetery because of the after effects still from the hurricane. And I get out of my car, I'm under this green tent. It's blowing in the wind. The minister says a few words. He tells us to leave, and I'm not ready to leave. I've been married to Ava for 2.5 years. I need more than 2 minutes to say goodbye to her. I jump on the casket. The only way my friends peel me off is they promise me we could come back tomorrow. They start to escort me back to my car, and right before I get to the car, I say to one of my buddies, please, one last look, one final goodbye. Let me tell you something, I knew Ava was in heaven. But God knows what we need when we need it, son. And little would I know, I'm standing here today because what I saw in the cemetery that day over 24 years ago, I had the greatest epiphany of my life. And in the middle of the storm, the Father wanted to speak to me so clear that no, Bobby, I didn't come to bring death and destruction like the enemy does, but I've come to bring life and turn this into abundant life. And yes, I may not have sent the tragedy, but I'm going to turn that tragedy into a triumph. When I looked in the cemetery, I saw my destiny, my life's assignment, and why I'm here today. You wonder why I stand in the presence of high school, middle school, and college students, and I bow. You know why I bow, son? I bow out of thankfulness and honor and gratitude to people that are your age. I am alive today because people that were your age and every age of every young person in this room, when I looked in the cemetery, I now saw running through the cemetery over 1,000 students from Santa Fe High School and Middle School where I had taught and coached. Some of the kids that I coached years earlier came back from college to be with me that day. And when I'm watching them running through the cemetery, girls, water up to their knees, rain pouring down their heads and their faces, those girls were getting some of the nappiest, crustiest looking hairdos you've ever seen. Guys, three of them shocked me. Big John, 6'6", Jody, 6'5", Scooter, 6'4". I coached them in high school football. They went out to play college football in Texas. When they rallied around me and I went back in the hospital, those students for 3 weeks took over my hospital 24 hours, 7 days a week. And God sent them to me, and they would say over and over again, Coach, please don't give up. We love you. Please, Coach. Guys, why am I here today? It's what I call the cell phone theory. Bobby Petrocelli has a Sprint HTC cell phone that literally has 100 programs. Johnny, it's like a miniature computer. 100 functions and programs this cell phone has. Guess how many I use? 3. That means 97 programs are not being utilized. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because something happened in my past that told me that I was not good enough, that I was not technologically talented enough to sit down and figure out how these programs could be beneficial to the work I do and to what I do. So out of the fear, I choose not to. Out of the insecurity, I choose not to. Out of the inadequacy, I choose not to. And by not choosing to use this phone, there's so much more I can really utilize. I'm not getting fully what this has. I got to tell you, every single one of you in this room, the Holy Spirit has already, through God the Father, created you to be all he intended you to be. You know what happens to every one of us, son? Our abilities become suppressed. You know why? Because something has happened in our past. Something somebody said to us. Something that somebody did to us. We might have been verbally, physically, sexually abused. We might have been hurt and hindered. Let me tell you something. When we are first born into this world, Satan's greatest goal is to bring offense, pain, and hurt to you to break your heart somehow, some way. Why do you think Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted? If we didn't have a broken heart, he wouldn't have to come and heal it. I've come to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, to give sight to the blind. The enemy's goal when we're little boys and girls, when we're first born, somehow to bring offense, to bring hurt, to bring a broken heart into our life. And if he could do that, he feels like he's got a stronghold on you. You know what's wild? If you really study in the Bible, when Jesus dealt with people that were demon-possessed, every time he dealt with people that were demon-possessed, you know what the people, the demons spoke out to Jesus? We have nothing in common with you. You know why? Because there was no sin or offense ever in the life of Jesus, so they had no open area to try to come and attack him. The word says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm just speaking the word to you. Begin as powers and principalities. But you know who gives us victory over all of that? I love the skit. Oh my gosh, I love this skit, because the power of God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is alive inside of us to have victory over everything that comes our way, to have victory over things that tempt us. Let me tell you, son, of my own strength, I can't do it. I'm going to yield to temptation. I'm a man. I'm a human being. Okay? Without the strength of the Holy Spirit, I can't do it. My willpower, that's why the word says, of myself I can't do it. My works are as filthy rags by myself, but with the Holy Spirit I can do all things. What is your scripture that you have this week? Colossians 1:11 talks about that power that is inside of us.
I'm paraphrasing, of course. That's the Holy Spirit that gives us strength. But it's slowing down enough to giving him dominion in our life. Let me tell you something. Every one of you in this room matter. And because somebody has hurt you in your past, son, there are some of you young men in this room that have no clue who your real father is. That has no bearing on how much God the Father loves you, adores you, and fearfully and wonderfully made you. You are not a mistake. You are not an outcast. You are not second rate. Some of you come from homes where there's divorce and separation, and you think you did something wrong. Why do I tell you this all the time? Because students come up to me every day in high schools all over America and tell me this. I had a boy last week in Oklahoma. My heart broke. He came up to me. I signed a book to him, and here's what he said. He said, Bobby, thank you for touching my heart today because it made sense. He said, 2 weeks ago, my father showed me a letter of my grandfather when my grandfather committed suicide. You know when my grandfather committed suicide? In the letter, he talked about he didn't feel like he mattered to anybody. Pain is what drives people to do some of the things they do. A broken heart that only Jesus Christ can heal drives every one of us to do it. Everybody, please take four fingers. Adults and students alike, hold them up in the air. Take those four fingers, put them right up to your face, and look at me through those four fingers. I will not smack your hand into your face, I promise. No matter what I do for the next 10 seconds, watch me through those four fingers, please. Just wherever I walk, please watch me through those four fingers. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, just keep on watching me. Put your hand down. Son, right here. What's your name?
Aaron.
Aaron, I want to ask you a simple question, Aaron. As you were looking at me with four fingers in front of your face, were you able to see me as clear as you can right now, or did the four fingers obstruct your view just a little bit?
I can't see. I wasn't able to see as clearly.
You couldn't see as clearly, they obstructed your view. Thank you. There was a song that came out 2 years ago that played in the Christian circuit and in mainstream circuit. It was from a singer by the name of Natasha Bedingfield. The song was called Unwritten. It went something like, feel the rain on your skin, speak the words that are on your lips. Your life is like an open book. Your life is unwritten. And then it goes on to say, Aaron, open up the dirty window. Here's what Natasha is saying. Before you can truly write in your book of life that you're living every day, you got to open up that dirty window. What do you think she was talking about? You have any idea? I'll tell you what I think. She was talking about all the pain and the hurt and the rejection and the fear that we have experienced in our past dirties up the window. If we allow that to truly affect our lives, then this is how we go through this world. We don't see ourselves for who we really are in Christ. We don't see ourselves for who God's created us to see. And guess what we don't do? We don't see other people for who God's created them to be. We see life through a dirty window. Now, how do we open that dirty window? Let me take you to number two. We learn through the grace and the mercy of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive those who do wrong to us. Son, I had to forgive a man who killed my wife. Forgiveness didn't condone the wrong he did. Forgiveness set me free. And I'll tell you very simply, the Word of God teaches that if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to help us to forgive others, we cannot truly experience the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of God, because Christ values everyone and died for everyone. And he says very simply, if I'm not willing to forgive, then how could I truly experience his forgiveness? You know what unforgiveness is like, Aaron? It's like drinking poison, hoping the other person dies from the poison I drink. Unforgiveness is like walking on the beach, looking up at the air, watching a seagull fly overhead, and that seagull poops in my face. And I scream at the seagull to get back here and wipe this off of my face. He doesn't come back. And everywhere I go, I'm still walking around with poop from a seagull on my face, because I'm waiting for the seagull to make it right, and he won't. Now watch this. When you and I make excuses, if Johnny, you do something wrong to me, and I use you as an excuse for me not going on in my life, here's a sad reality. I have given you the control and power, and you're the only one who can make it right. I've willfully surrendered control of my life to you. I've let you rent space in my mind. That's what I willfully have done. Students, I had an older woman in her 80s come up and put a fist in my face, screaming at me, I will never forgive those people for what they did. At the end of her program, I said, who, ma'am? She goes, I was in Auschwitz, and I lost seven family members in World War II Germany.
7 family members. I'll never forgive those people for robbing my family from me. So I asked the woman a simple question. Did they rob from you? She goes, yes. Did they steal from you? She says, yes. I said, did they hurt you? She goes, yes. I said, you know what's worse than that? For the last almost 70 years, you've let those people who hurt you 70 years ago hurt you every day of your life for the last 70 years, and you willfully have given them the ability to hurt you every moment, every hour, every second of your life. Students, you will never be able to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit that is alive inside of you if you hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness for what others have done to you. Let go. You see, 3 years after my marriage, 3 years after Ava was killed, excuse me, I proposed marriage a second time in my life. This time, because of the grace of God, because of the help and relying on other brothers. Man, when you're down, you need people you could count on. And I don't need to count on you when, you know what, I just sin over here. If I went off the deep end, I still got to believe that you're going to cover my back, no matter what. That's what the true church does. We cover one another, thick, thin, right around. I have a friend who has a son in jail in Utah. Utah. He grew up in the church in Virginia. And you know what he said? I cried when he said this recently. If this doesn't stir your heart, he said, I'd rather become a Mormon because the way the Mormons have treated me with love, I'm embarrassed to go back to my church because they have kicked me to the curb because of the wrong I've done. They haven't tried to restore and love me. I heard that, Johnny, my heart broke. We are Jesus to this world. When people see us, what description or definition do we give them of Jesus? Do we give them a definition of love, forgiveness, compassion, no matter what? Or do we give them a description of judgment? I'm better than you because I accepted Jesus and you haven't yet, so God kind of loves me more than he does you. Guess what? All is God's creation. The sad reality is a lot of the world has no clue yet, but it's coming. Every knee shall bow and every single tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I want to do everything in my power to show the world how much Jesus really loves for them and how much he values them and how much he cares for them by maybe just loving on them with no agenda, no ulterior motive. 3 years after my tragedy, I proposed marriage. Why? I met Susie a year and a half after Ava was killed. As we say in Brooklyn, we don't use the word afraid. We don't use the word scared. Remember, in case you don't know this, English is my second language. Brooklynese is my first. We use the word a scared. I was a scared to date, but I gave it a chance. I'm dating Susie 3 or 4 months. She hands me this big bag of gifts, brand new clothes and outfits from the Gap. You're never too old to fall into the Gap. Yeah, I know I grew up during the Gap era when it was big. Right, Frank, we're young. We go to the mall. We go to the Gap. It was new in the 70s, late 60s. Not like you guys. You go to a place called Hollister. If you've ever been to Hollister, raise your hands, please. Yeah. I want to ask you a question. What's your name, son?
John.
John, a very simple question about Hollister. Would it be so difficult for the people of Hollister to turn the lights up just a little bit? And how about turning the music down? Oh, my gosh. I know what you kids do to your parents. You get back at your parents by bringing them to Hollister. You walk your parents into Hollister. They can't see. They can't hear. It's so overwhelming. They surrender their credit card and run out the store. I said, Susie, what are these gifts for? She goes, Bobby, you know what today is. And Johnny, my first thought was, oh, Lord, no. I just missed our 3-month, 4-week, 5-day, 6-hour, 7-minute, and 8-second anniversary. She goes, no. She goes, I know if Ava was never killed 2 years ago, today would have been your 4th wedding anniversary to Ava. And I thought you might be hurting, so I bought you these gifts to let you know I love you so much. I learned one thing living in the South. That girl melted my butter quicker than any microwave ever would. And to all my beautiful friends from Louisiana and Alabama, raise your hand for a moment. Okay. Put your hands down. I got to tell you what's wrong about the United States. I live in Florida. Okay, wait. I live in Florida. For me to go to the deep South, I got to go north to go to the deep south. It makes no sense. And Susie gives me those gifts. Man, a year and a half later, I'm engaged. A year later, I'm married. But 3 years after Susie and I were married, Susie was in the hospital. For a good reason. She gave birth to the most awesome dude you ever want to see. My first son, Alec. And the scary part is now, it's hard to believe. I shared with the baseball team a little bit today how fast life goes. I am 49 years old. How did I get there here so fast? 4 weeks ago, I dropped Alec off at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, to play football. You got to be kidding me. He's 18 years old. Where did that time go? I got a 14-year-old. I live in Tampa, Florida. My 14-year-old's favorite sport is ice hockey. You got to be kidding me. He plays ice hockey in Florida. But the scariest thing was I got a peek at his Facebook page the other day. I'm concerned. You guys got to pray for me, please. You know what Aaron's number one hobby is? His number one hobby is girls. That's not good. I'm driving in the car. There's me, Susie, Alec, and Aaron. We're going to visit family up in New York. There's Alec and Aaron in the back. I hear a smack. Aaron starts to cry. My first response is a couple years ago, Alec, what did you do to your brother? His exact words, Dad, Aaron was coming on my side of the line. So I smacked his hand. You know the first question I asked Alec? Alec, do you want to go to Walmart? He goes, no, Dad, we were there yesterday. Then I said, words, you better leave your brother alone. Am I going to have to come back there? He looks at me with a big grin and says, hey, Dad, come on back. I want to know who's going to drive the truck. See, you know what I realized with my parents? I realized why Italian men talk so much with their hands. It's just happened to me since I've had kids. You know why we talk so much with our hands? As Italians, we spit so much when we talk. We're just trying to catch all the spit before it lands on everyone in front of us. You see, students, if I would have never known God's goodness, I would have never realized that God promises me. Sometimes, son, life happens. My precious brother over here talked about losing his father. You know what? That's not easy. I've never walked in the steps of anybody in this room, but I know who understands everything you have ever experienced, and that is Jesus Christ. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything. And you know what? He even knows when you don't think the right things. He loves you no matter what. There is nothing you can do that will make him ever love you more. I want to close with this one last story. That's what I love about FCA, about what you stand for, about service, about teamwork, about working together, about character, integrity. I'm going to drive to pick up my son Alec at school. He had just finished his last final exam. The date was December 19th. In Tampa, Florida, on December 19th, it was 88 degrees. I know here in Western North Carolina, it was also 88. 44 in the morning, 44 in the evening. I'm going to pick up Alec. Well, as I'm running late, now one thing, being a calm, relaxed Italian man from New York, I don't like to be late. I didn't like to be late. I was going to be about 10 minutes late to get him. I was on the phone in my office. As I'm driving, I see a man walking on the side of the road. Man has a bald head and glasses, goatee, long, white sleeve shirt that is glued to his body from sweat because it was 88 degrees outside. He had a name tag at the top left corner. He had long black pants, black shoes, and a black apron. The first thing I surmise, that man works at the mall as a waiter at one of the restaurants, but the mall is still a mile and a half away. He's walking to work. No sooner do I think that, right in here, real strong, go pick up that man and give him a ride. I am telling you, as I'm standing here today, I know it's the Spirit of God speaking to me. I'm like, I ain't picking him up. He's not my business, Lord. I'm late for getting out. You know I don't like being late. And by the way, I'm so worried about my future. Even though it's 25 minutes away to get my son, I might be missing out on what's happening in the moment. Again, a second time, go pick up this man. I'm like, the second, I ain't picking him up. Come on, Lord. I'm acting like a child. I ain't picking him up. Come on, I don't want to be late. You know I hate being late. A third time, go pick him up. Finally, I circle around. I pull to the side of the road. I roll down my window, passenger window. Trust me, the era I grew up with, this is how we used to roll down the window.
But I hit the power window. The window went down. I yell out, hello, can you use a ride? He turns and begins to walk towards me. The closer he gets, I read his name tag. Says Keith Red Lobster. Red Lobster is a restaurant at Largo Mall in Largo, Florida. He walks a little closer. I said, can you use a ride? He peeks his head in the car window. He goes, man, thank you for stopping. You have no idea. He wipes the sweat off his brow. He gets in the car. He introduces himself as Keith. He goes, I work at Red Lobster. I'm late. I don't own a car. I normally take the bus to work. Today I had no money to take the bus. So I was walking to work. The moment he said that, I knew I was doing the right thing. He then says to me, out of the clear blue sky, he goes, out of nowhere, do you love Jesus? Are you normally excited like this? I go, yeah, I love Jesus, but the last thing I'm going to do is cram Jesus down anybody's throat. I want to show people how much Jesus loves them by how I treat them. And he goes, man, I could agree with that. Then he says to me, I could tell by your accent you're not from Florida. Where are you from? I go, man, I'm from Brooklyn, New York. He goes, really? I'm from Queens, New York. I go, really? Nothing good ever comes out of Queens. No, I'm just kidding. We joke for the next few moments. I pull into the Red Lobster parking lot. Before Keith gets out, I grab my wallet. I pull the first bill out of my wallet. It was a $10 bill. I reach over to hand it to him. He pulls away. He goes, what are you doing? I said, let me be your first tip of the day so you could take the bus to home. He takes the $10. He puts his head down and he starts to cry. And I know he's not Italian. He wipes the tears from his eyes. He looks at me and here's what he says. He goes, I won't take the bus home. I'll tell you what I'd like to do with this $10, if it's okay with you. I said, sure, Keith, I gave it to you. Do what you want. He goes, no, please, let me tell you. He goes, I don't own a car because 4 months ago, my wife and I got divorced, and I gave everything to my wife, including my car, because my wife has my greatest gift, my seven-year-old daughter. And he goes, as her father, I am embarrassed and ashamed to tell you that next week is Christmas and I have no money to buy my daughter any gifts. This $10 will go to buy her first present. You can forget him crying. I was a slobbering mess. Son, you know what I prayed that morning? When I got up and I spent a little time being quiet before the Lord. I said, Father, I want to be a servant like you've never had before. Guess what? For every prayer that you pray, the Lord will answer that prayer. But guess what? He's going to call you out on it and see if you're really willing to step forward and do it. He's going to see, are you ready? Well, right there was the opportunity. I could have kept on going. Well, anyway, Keith gets out of the car. I call my wife, Susie. She's getting out of her appointment. I said, honey, and I tell her the whole story. I'm late for getting out. Like, please, can you go to the department store behind the Red Lobster? Not the Walmart where kids are getting beaten, but you know the French department store, Target. I said, buy all the goodies that a seven-year-old girl would love, and let's give her and her daddy an incredible Christmas. Long story short, 55 minutes later, Susie walks in the Red Lobster with two big bags from Target. The hostess greets and says, can I help you? She goes, yes, I'm looking for Keith, the waiter. The hostess goes, you must be Bobby's wife. She goes, how do you know me? She goes, well, you asked for Keith, number one. Number two, you come in with all these toys for a kid. And number three, we all know what Keith is going through because in the last 50 minutes, everybody in this place hates the name Bobby because that's what we've heard for 50 minutes. She goes, I'm joking. Keith comes out. Susie hands him the gifts. Susie's last words to Keith were, these gifts are not from Bobby and I to your daughter. They're from you to your daughter. We want to give you a hand up, not a handout. You know what Keith's last words to Susie were? The way your husband treated me, he must know God, he must know Jesus, and I want to know the Jesus and the God that he knows. Listen to me. I didn't preach to him once. I didn't read him the plan of salvation. I treated him the way I believed Jesus wanted me to treat him. Why? Because of a prayer that I prayed that morning, and when God was speaking to me, I was willing to listen to him. Why am I going to use the word wow to describe that? No, students, not wow, look what I did. But wow, look how close I came to not doing what I did. Every day of your life, God will give you and I an opportunity to be a difference in the life of another person. You want to unleash the power? Do not say it. Do not waste any more time at this conference if you are not willing to walk out of this place a changed and a different person. Because if you leave this place the same way you came, you have wasted 4 days of your life you will never, ever get back again. But if you are willing to look back somewhere in your future and say, What took place at that FCA camp was life-changing, and I embraced it. Man, that's amazing. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads quietly, nobody looking around. Father, you know the hearts here. You know the broken, wounded hearts. You know those who are hurting, those who have unforgiveness, offense in their life. I pray, Father, you are a healing God. You are God that heals the broken heart, that sets the captive free, that gives sight to the blind. Let me just tell you something. The whole reason why Jesus came was to be that bridge, that gap between us and God the Father that was lost when Adam sinned and broke that connection. Jesus valued us so much to restore us to the Father. He prays on our behalf. He intercedes every day on our behalf. Jesus wants to be so real in your life. God wants to be so real in your life. The Holy Spirit, the three in one, wants to be so real in your life. If you have never made that decision and choice to just say, you know what, God? Trust me, for Bobby Petroselli, it's never about numbers. It's about sowing seed and watering seed. If today could be the harvest for you, praise God, let it be. But I'm going to throw out some very simple things. Number one, if you want to leave this place different and changed and learn to hear in a greater way God speaking to you and be used as a tool and a vessel, just stand up right where you're at right now, please. Number two, if you've never truly just asked Jesus to come be part of who you are and what you are called to be, he values you so much. I'm going to ask you to please stand. Number three, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, somebody you're holding an offense against, bitterness, and you just need some extra help and a touch from God and the Holy Spirit that's in you to give you that strength to just let go and forgive and release it, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you have any other physical need or ailment or hurt or pain, you need direction, you need anything, I'm going to ask you to stand. Thank you, Father. I'm going to ask every single one of you who have stood, come all the way down here in the front, please. Just come out of your seats and stand. And we're going to do something different tonight. Come on all the way up. Please fix that, son. Push that to the front, please. Please, everybody, just come. Thank you, Johnny. God bless you guys. Just come all the way up here, all the way to the front, please. Come. Come all the way up. Now, for everybody else who's sitting out in that audience, these are people that God has put in your life that have a need. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and you come and fill in behind every one of them. Adults in the back, you come on forward, everybody. This is a body of Christ moment. This is a body of Christ moment. I want everybody to come out. Please, just fill in the aisles. I'm going to ask everybody to do one thing. For those who came down here in the front, I'm going to ask everybody who's filled in behind them, reach one of your hands out towards them that you're praying and believing and agreeing with them. You're helping them lift the 500 pounds. Number two, take your other hand and put it to heaven, and you're surrendering and saying, Holy Spirit, it's only through your strength. And I'm going to ask you to do this now, and I'm going to pray over every one of you, and I'm going to speak the word of God over every person in this room. Father God, Jesus came to cleanse every one of us through the blood that he shed. God, he wore a crown of thorns on his head that we can walk in peace. The chastisement, Lord God, of our peace was upon Jesus. Lord, he was bruised and he was wounded for our iniquities, Father. Oh, Lord, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we were, are, and will always be healed.
So we just come in agreement, and Lord, this is what your word says. I am just coming to you, Father, presenting your word to you in agreement with all these beautiful brothers and sisters in you, Father. All these people who have come forward that have unforgiveness issues. Holy Spirit, help them to forgive. Give them strength to forgive. All those who are coming to know Jesus for the first time, give them strength to know Jesus. Give them strength to understand who he is and what he wants to be in their life. For those who are coming with any other need, Lord, be with them. Just stand in his presence for a moment and just bask in the presence of God. His presence is here in the unity of the body. Jesus, you've come to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captive free. Father, I just speak and pray over every person in this place. Thank you for every leader who has sacrificed their time. Thank you for every student that has come. Thank you for the praise band, everybody in the praise band, Father. Thank you for the leadership of FCA. Father, I pray that hearts in FCA and leadership around this city, this state, this nation, this world that have an association with FCA, that their hearts would be stirred in such a way, Father, that the unity of the body of Christ would come together even through FCA, that, Lord, your glory, as you say in John 17, would be revealed, that people will come into the kingdom and know your healing, redeeming, saving power. Lord, your grace empowers us. And your grace empowers us to unleash the power that's in us. I pray and declare these things over everybody here today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap, please. One last thing, I'm going to turn it back over to my brother. A song that was sung earlier. You sang a song about freedom. The word of God says, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm just quoting you the word of God. Let me tell you straight up. Excuse me. The reality is I have so much of the word of God written in here. We either believe this thing or throw it away. It's a waste of time. Is this thing real and true? Are we going to believe what the word truly says? Are we going to believe that God loves us and his grace sustains and heals us? Are we going to believe it? Are we going to make that declaration to say, Holy Spirit, with your strength, we're going to believe this, and we're going to, your strength, put this into practice. We'll be imitators of God. We'll start a love revolution. And you know what? Declare the words that you sing. You know there's power of life and death in your words. Power of life and death. Do you know, son, I don't know if you know this, but go back, seriously, go back. Watch this for a moment, please. Go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, God didn't touch anything. He spoke the word, and the universe was created by the word he spoke. Do you know, scientists have proven to this day the universe is still expanding? He spoke the word. Do you know that he gave Adam the ability to name every animal and species? Do you know, son, there's 1.2 million species of animals, and Adam gave names to all of those. And you know what shocks the heck out of me? He could remember every one of their names. That is the God that you and I serve. He's alive inside of us. As I turn it over to my brother, sing the song and sing out the words about being free in him. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Thank you.